Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight. I am super duper excited about tonight's show. I have a special guest in the audience, and she is no stranger to processing the pain. And I'm excited what God is going to do through her on tonight as she begins to take us through an encounter with grace. And I just know that this will be a blessing for each and every one of you listening in on tonight, because I know I'm excited because I'm looking to be blessed. I'm looking to get revelation. I'm looking for deliverance. I'm looking for everything that God has for me on tonight's show. If you are listening in on tonight, I would encourage you and challenge you to let a friend know about tonight's show. Text somebody. Send them the phone number. Send them the website. Tell them to listen in tonight. Tell them if they don't listen in to no other show, listen tonight, because tonight's contents is going to be rich. Tonight's contents are going to be healing. And I just really believe that each person that make a decision to be obedient, to be on tonight's call, will really get everything that God has for them for tonight. So, again, I'm excited. I want to thank each one of you for tuning in on tonight. We are going to, without further ado, I want to welcome my guest to the studio on tonight. She is a author. She's a mother. She's a woman of God. Not in maybe necessarily in that order, but she has processed through many life pains, and you're going to get a chance to find out who she is. And she calls herself Kim Possible, and I love it, Kim Possible. So, Kim, are you in the studio on tonight?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to Processing the Pain. We are so glad to have you back with us tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, this is what I'm going to do. You know how I do it. I could introduce you and I could go through your bio, but I believe that no one could tell the story better than ourselves. So what I'm going to ask you to do for our studio audience, I'm going to ask you, tell us, who is Kim Fairley? Who is she?
Kim Fairley is, as you said, I am a mother. I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a very good friend. I'm a professional in the social services field. I started writing books about 5 years ago. I was transitioning out of a period in my life where I was changing from one church to another, and I knew that I needed to make that change for growth in my own life, especially growth spiritually. And so there were some things that I had experienced as I was just in life in general. It wasn't necessarily the hurts that I had encountered in the church, but there were some hurts that I had encountered in general in my life that kind of added all up to the place where I was questioning what was going on, why were these things happening. And so that's when I had decided to start writing books. I have been writing poetry and spoken words prior to that, but I really believe that because of the things that I had encountered, that there was a message that God had that he wanted to use from my life. And so my first book was written perfectly imperfect about 3 years ago. And that story was just everything that I've learned, not everything, but a lot of the things that I've learned concerning forgiveness and how God allowed me to go through that process. And then this recent book that I had just released last Friday, as you said, it's called An Encounter with Grace. And that was just recapping a kind of a 10-year season of my life, but more so the things that I had learned recently as it just regards to grace and sinning and falling from the grace of God, especially whenever you're a leader in the church and doing that in front of the church.
Yes, amen. You know, I want to get to, me and you had a discussion, and I just think that that's so on target, and what I hear in my spirit is I don't want to grieve the spirit, and I think what the revelation that you received and what you were sharing with me is so crucial, and I really, you know, normally I'll go through the interviewing process, but I want to be obedient. I just want, is it okay if I be obedient? I'm asking the studio audience, tonight I'm going to be obedient, and I'm not going to do things as usual. I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to move and use Kim to share her revelation and share her story, because I just really believe that someone or maybe more than one person tonight needs to hear this revelation, because we so often, the church, the body, the world, we deal with sin, and we talk about sin, and we ridicule people who sin, and, you know, we rebuke people who sin, and we all have sinned and fallen short, and some of us keep sinning, and some of us are living lifestyles of sin, and is it really, is sin the symptom of a deeper issue? Is sin the symptom of a deeper issue? Kim, what's your take?
So, you know, what God had revealed to me in this past season of my life that I'm still going through, I had to look at myself. You know, I had received, it wasn't a lot, honestly. There was just one or two people that whenever they found out that I had become pregnant again outside of marriage after 10 years, my oldest son is 10 years old, and my youngest son, he's 2 months old. After I had become pregnant again outside of marriage, and it was different this time because when I had my 10-year-old, I was 20 years old. When I had my new son, Elijah, I am now 30 years old. So for me, being in this place, I was a leader in the church. Here I am, a published author, a public speaker, a public figure. I'm all of these different, you know, things to all these different people. And it was hurtful to me personally. Obviously, you know, I was the person going through it. You know, I had thought that I had come to a place of maturity where I wasn't going to be dealing with the same exact thing. It looked like the same thing to me, that here I am, a single mother again, 10 years later. I could not believe that I was in this place again. But here I am, and I'm a single mother again, raising yet another little boy outside of marriage. And, you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong whenever we present our sins and we present those seasons of us falling short to brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. But where I think that we oftentimes fail one another is how we're able to receive that information. You know, like I said, it was just a couple people that had really hurt me by the way that they had responded to my situation. And it had taken me to a place where I wanted to commit suicide. I no longer wanted to live. I didn't want the baby to live. I just couldn't see myself being, as a leader in the church, someone who had fallen and someone who had people looking up to them and someone that was disappointing other people. I had really, really felt ashamed of myself. I was in a place where I didn't think that I could ever be loved by a man because I had 2 children outside of marriage. I didn't think that I was worthy of being a leader because I had fallen. There were just so many negative thoughts that were funneling through my mind as I was going through this season. I wanted to reject the church. You know, those who were supportive of me and that were trying to love on me, I didn't want them to be around me. I didn't want to be in the church. There was just a lot of different things. I was kind of in the whirlwind and a tornado of emotion because of the season that I had encountered. And I remember one day I was doing a writing assignment for one of the classes that I was taking at that time, and I was listening to a pastor by the name of Matt Chandler, and I'm going to read this quote because I never get it right. It says, "One of the sure signs that you don't understand grace outside of the intellectual assent is the inability to show grace to others. What the gospel does is removes our ability to judge harshly others. Instead, it creates empathy and compassion. It creates a holy kind of sorrow for the carnage that sin creates." And so I remember when I said that, it was when I listened to that, it was almost as if like my world just stopped, because here I was, and God knows I could have so many friends call up and confirm that I have been very, 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 very extremely harsh with people, especially when it came to the sin of having sex outside of marriage. And I nearly beat people down because over the years I had gone 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years without having sex outside of marriage, and I thought that I knew everything. I thought that I was in a place where I could be looked up to. And when I look back on myself and those different behaviors, I looked at how ungrateful that I was with people, how I wasn't able to address people and their situations in love and be able to bring them up in love because of where they were at. And so I remember listening to that, and it really humbled me, and it really brought me to life because God was able to show me in this season that, you know, not that I don't believe I necessarily deserved to have even the few people that have looked down on me or that have not responded the way that I would have wanted them to as a result of this situation, but God definitely showed me that when it came to grace, I believe that there are people that have that as a gift. You know, I don't believe that everybody in the body of the Christ, obviously, no, not everybody in the body of Christ has that gift to be able to show grace to other people when they're in those situations. And I believe that that's the thing that we're missing. We're missing the ability to, you know, approach one another, even in their sin, to be able to approach them in love, in pleasantness, and to be able to encourage them out of the season that they're in instead of beating them down about what they've done. Because like you said, you know, we're oftentimes just showing symptoms of some of the things that we've gone through. But half the time, if not 99% of the time, people looking from the outside in do not have a single clue of the things that we encounter in our lives that bring us to some of the decisions that we make. So that was one of the biggest things that I've learned in this season is really how to extend and show grace to other people and just being humbled in the reality that I did not know what it was to have grace in the first place.
Wow. As you were speaking, one of the things that came to mind, because you had said that we don't know how to, that the showing of grace is a gift. And I'm not sure that it's a gift because I think it's a requirement for us mm-hmm. as believers to show grace. And I think maybe the word grace is not what we see, but when we hear scriptures that tell us judge not lest ye be judged, it doesn't say that there's not a judgment, but what it does say is the same grace that you would want for yourself that you need to show unto others, or the same grace that God has granted us. But the bigger thing that I heard when you were speaking, that we don't know how to love people where they're at and love them out of the situation, what came to mm-hmm. my mind is that, I want to think that it's maybe 2 Timothy, I think it is, and I might be off, so don't shoot me, audience, but it says that love covers a multitude of sin. Well, if you think about Jesus coming and dying, that was the ultimate act of love, because he died, he loved us so much that he covered our sins by dying. So when you think about it like that, and you think about what Jesus did for us, that he loved us so much that he covered us with his love because of our sin. And it's likewise, we as believers, once we come into the, you know, accepting Jesus Christ and, you know, going through the whole the salvation and receiving salvation, I think it's a requirement of us as believers to be able to, not that we have to accept sin, you know, but that we be able to love people through it. And that brings us to what you were saying in reference to, and I'm going to let you get deeper into that, about we're looking at the sin, we're looking at the symptoms, but what about the root cause?
Yeah. I mean, you know, so, it was very interesting because I was speaking to a young lady that I used to lead in one of our youth groups last night or yesterday. I was meeting with her, and she was revealing to me some stuff that was going on in her life, and it really broke my heart because I've known her for about 5 years, and I was leading the youth group for about maybe 2 of those years. And I guess her situation has been lasting for the past 5 years, and she never told me. And it really broke my heart because she considers me to be a second mother to her. And I've always told her that if there was anything that she was going through, that I would be very disappointed if she didn't share it with me so that I could help her. And she looked me in the face and she told me, with this particular situation, I'm not saying that you would, but I didn't know if you were going to judge me or not. And, you know, maybe that should be a requirement that we have grace, but I truly think that there's a lot of us in the body of Christ and just in general that we go through the different situations that we go through, like even myself being a mother for the second time outside of marriage. Just, you know, we all know that there's tons of single mothers in the world, and there's women that have even more than just 2 children outside of marriage. But we always look at our situations as if we're the only person in the whole entire world that has gone through that situation, and nobody else can understand that situation because they're not in it. And so I think that that plays a lot into a person being able to extend grace is maybe we start categorizing our sin and we think, you know, me drinking and having a few drinks, that's not as bad as being a single mother and having sex outside of marriage, or me having sex outside of marriage isn't as bad as a person cheating on their spouse. So when we start categorizing our sins and we think of one sin as greater than the other, we kind of lose touch in the reality that sin is sin, and it all separates us from God. And no matter what it is, it's something that can bring those hurt habits and hang-ups into our lives. So I believe that, you know, like you said, absolutely, we all should have that grace. But I think that once we start categorizing our sin and we start thinking that one sin is better to commit than the other, that's when we lose touch in the reality that all of the sins that we commit separate us from God, and they're all unpleasing to God, regardless of what it is that we do.
Yes, yes, sin is sin, and that is so true. We do, is that human nature want to categorize because we want to be okay with our sin. So if the only way I could be okay with my sin is to make your sin look worse than my sin. And you see,
mm-hmm.
you know, we see that in the body. We see that, you know, constantly up and down Facebook. We see that a lot. You know, perfect example of that is the LGBT community. You know, people want to, you know, they talk about that community, but then there's so many other, it's sin. Sin is sin is sin is sin, and God is not pleased with sin. He's not happy with
right.
sin, and he's given us a ability to, he's given us the ability to not live a lifestyle of sin. So thank God for that ability that we don't have to. It's a choice to choose to live a lifestyle of sin. So with that being said, because I know in my mind, you know, we got a studio audience listening in, and we have others listening in, and my question would be, because again, we look at the symptoms, you know, so it's easy to see the person that's, you know, drinking too much or doing drugs. It's easy to see the person that's having sex outside of marriage or, like you said, unwed. It's so easy to see those things. But what do we really, why is it important for us to, instead of ridiculing people that's sinning, why is it important for us to pray for them?
Well, you know, in my situation in particular, I thank God because I am at a place of maturity where I was able to recognize that I had been in a place, you know, with me becoming pregnant again outside of marriage, it was actually a situation that spun off of the first book. One of the relationships that I had talked about in my first book, I had actually forgiven him. We had tried to move forward. We were going to be in a relationship and soon be married. And I had supported him through prison. He came home from prison, and he cheated. And I kind of put on that tough exterior that anybody got time for that. Who you think you're going to hurt? That doesn't bother me. And I never allowed myself to deal with that. And so I met another young man when I was dealing with that who he kind of played off of all of the different vulnerabilities that I had. He listened very well. And before I say anything else about him, I want to make it very clear that he's not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy at all. But, you know, he definitely played off of the vulnerabilities that I had. He paid attention to me. He learned me very well. And as a result, I allowed myself to be in this place where I was able to fall very hard for the different things that he was able to show me in the beginning. And so, you know, fast forward, I have my son, and there's just been a lot of different things that God had opened up my eyes to see. You know, I had finally come to realize that if I had allowed myself to deal with all of the hurts of being hurt in the church, being hurt by relationships, being hurt by my family, if I had dealt with those hurts sooner, then I do believe that I would not have either one of my children outside of marriage. I believe that I would have been in a place where I was able to love myself for who God has created me to be, that I was able to believe God when he said that he loved me, and I was able to accept him filling that void versus men or human men. But, you know, I believe that it's very important for us to not necessarily come down so harshly on one another, because whenever we do that, it allows us to no longer be able to focus on the fact that there are these issues that need to be addressed. And so now all we're dealing with is a whole nother issue. Now we're replacing the original hurts and habits and hangups that we have. So now we're replacing those legitimate things with something that's now a distraction. So it's not the fact that I've been hurt in the past and I need to heal from this. Now my issue is, look at these people. They're judging me. They're coming down on me. Who they think that they're better than me. Now we're just replacing another hurt with a hurt, and we're compounding the issue. So, you know, God was really able to show me in this season that it's so important for us to be able to come to one another in love, because we need support. We absolutely need support of one another. We absolutely need we can't do this alone. If we could do this alone, then God would have never designed marriage. He would have never designed family and relationships if we could do all of this on our own. And I believe that we need one another. Even if a person, even if you can't come to a full understanding of where I've been through and the different things I've endured in my life, then you can just be able to understand what it feels like to be hurt and what it feels like to be disappointed. And so I truly believe that, you know, it's so important for us to not that we ever ignore the sin. I'm not ever saying that. We don't ever ignore the sin. But to be able to just be human with one another, have empathy, to be able to show that I understand that you're hurting, and let's get to the root of the issue so that you can stop going around that mountain for the next how many years of your life, and so that you can come to a place of freedom. And if we don't ever get to that place, then we're going to continue to have a whole lot of hurt and broken people that are continuing to circle their mountain and never have those issues ever discovered in their lives.
That's good. That is good. Helping people get to, like you said, helping people get to the root cause of why. Why I do what I do. And when, you know, I often say, when you understand or when you learn why someone does what they do, then it does. It does bring about a spirit, I think, of grace. You know, but I think what it is that most of us don't want to know. We don't want to care. You know, for example, let's just take a young lady, and she's on meth, and she's drugged out, and all we see is, oh, she's just a dope head, you know, oh, she's just a, you know, she's just this, she's just that, and we begin to put tags and titles on her life, right, because we see the drug, but if you sat down and talked to her, what you would find out is that from the time she was 3 to the time she was 12, her biological father was molesting her. Then that grace begins to, now compassion kicks in. So you no longer see the symptom anymore, but you see the root cause. And so now you begin to try to address the root cause. The root cause is, I was molested from the time I was a little girl till I was a teenager by my father. So that the pain of that, and me not knowing how to process that, me not knowing who I could talk to about that, led me into drug abuse. And so now I'm a drug addict, and only thing people could see is she's a drug addict. But they never took the time to find out what happened in her life that caused her to make this decision. We got to be, as believers, more in a position to stop and say and ask the question, what makes people do what they do? Because if we could get to that, I guarantee you, what we would begin to find out, we would have more compassion for people, we would pray more for people, and I think we would be willing to walk alongside with people in love, like you said, in love, to walk them through that pain so that they could get to the other side. Because if they cannot get past that pain, they'll never get past the symptoms.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, that was a good one. What I want to do, we're going to continue this discussion. This discussion. discussion on tonight is very rich. And I want to give the studio audience enough time. If you have a question or a comment about our topic on tonight, feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we will take you in. The only requirement that I ask is that if you dial 1 on your dial pad because you have a question, once you present your question and get your answer, if you could dial 1 again, that'll take you out of the queue. So, again, you dial 1 to come in the queue, and then you dial 1 again, and it takes you out of the queue. Amen. So we're going to continue our discussion, but at any time, our listening audience, if you're listening through the Internet and you do have a question, you would have to call into the studio. That number is area code 646-721-9678. Again, that's 646-721-9678. If you have a question, you have to call into the studio. So I'm going back to our guest. We're going to jump the subject and we're going to come back. Kim, tell us a little bit about your book, and then also where that book could be purchased for those listening in if they would like to get that book, get your book and read it. And how can they go about that? Do you have a website? Is there somewhere they could go to purchase it? Tell us a little bit.
Absolutely. So I'll start with the easier part first. The book, I do have a website. It's called beautybeyondbrokenness.com, and that's where the book can be purchased at, or on Amazon.com. The book, this actually, I started writing it back in 2015 after I had published my first book. And honestly, this was a book at the time, it was really condemning. It was really harsh as far as, you know, like I said, at that point, I was probably 8 years in, and I had been celibate. I just thought I knew all I was talking about. I was the face, and I was the voice of purity. And then in 2016, I took a trip with my son to Rome, Italy. And while I was there, I was very determined that I was supposed to be away for 2 months. And I said to myself, this book better be finished before I leave this country. I better not leave and have all this free time and not finish the book. And so I had finished the book. I felt great about it, and I was excited to be publishing my second book. And then I came home and hit the very harsh reality. I had always said, and I guess, you know, saying goes that you should never say never, because I had always said that there was not a single guy in the world that could make me fall. And I believe that that quote is in the first book. I had always said that there was never a guy that could make me fall, that I was not going to ever fall, again, when it came to sexual sin, that I was going to wait until I got married. And like I said, I had yet met a young man who he just was able to really play on the weaknesses I had, the vulnerabilities, the things, the desires that I had. I mean, he played on all of those different things. And here I had found myself falling into sin with him. And I'm going to be completely transparent. It wasn't like this was a one-time thing. I had made the choice, my own active choice, to be intimate with him for months. And I always thought that I could escape it. I thought that, you know, if we just be careful, we don't have to worry about having a child. And then around my birthday, September of last year, I found myself having the news that I was pregnant again. And so, you know, when I read that comment earlier that I had shared from the pastor, Matt Chandler, that was at the time that I changed the title to the book. So the title of the book was originally The Forsaken Art of Purity, because I thought that I had truly learned the forsaken art of purity. And it wasn't until I believed that I had my own encounter with grace that I was able to have my eyes opened with the fact that I was not graceful with others, that I didn't even know what grace was in the first place. You know, I could quote a lot of scriptures about it, but I didn't actually know what it was to understand it and to be able to extend it to other people. So, you know, through this experience of having my second son, Elijah, was when I believe that I truly learned what it was to be graceful to others and to be loving to others in a manner that was pleasing to God. And so that's when the title was changed to An Encounter with Grace. And, you know, I'm still learning in this situation. I'm still growing. There's things that God is pulling out of me daily, and it's very uncomfortable, but I know that I truly believe that these are different things that God is allowing me to deal with now so that I don't have to enter into a marriage and be unsuccessful and be divorced. I truly believe that I thought I was so ready so long ago. Over the years, I just knew I was ready, and I'm begging God, where's my husband? Why ain't he here? What is going on? Why not me? And I truly believe that God has opened up my eyes that these are some of the issues that I'm dealing with right now that are things that would have certainly been deal breakers for me. And God has been graciously allowing me to deal with those different hurts in my life so that I can overcome them. But that's of an encounter with grace, how God has He's truly changed my heart when it comes to not that it's okay to sin. I will never put out that message that it's okay to sin, but I truly believe that God has He has a message out there for His people that even in sin, we need to be gracious enough for people to love them back to life, which is something that I truly believe that we miss out on.
Wow, yes. Oh, now you have made a comment, and I'm going to, now hopefully you don't mind, because I want to ask you, as you were speaking about your situation and you became transparent, I want to thank you for that. You know, there's something in deliverance that bring about transparency. So I know that that you've been delivered because you're able to be transparent. And normally when people are still struggling, and not that you can't be struggling, let me rephrase that, but when you understand
right.
how I believe how the enemy works, and when you understand what's going on and understand the process, it comes with transparency. Because sometimes after my shows, I have people that's listening in, and they'll shoot me a text or email or something. They say, "Ooh, girl, I applaud you. I don't know how you could be so transparent." But I really am, because I don't want to give the enemy no room to trip me up. And not that, and I just feel
right.
like anything that I can hide, anything I can hide, he could use it against me. He could keep me in condemnation.
Absolutely.
He could keep me scared. And so if I expose
yeah.
it, I feel like now I got to deal with it. That means I got to work on it once I expose it.
Yeah.
One of the things you have said is that you had been living a lifestyle of sin. And I wanted to bring that back
mm-hmm.
up, because oftentimes when we see, like, for example, and I'm just using some examples, the mega church pastors or leaders or men, whoever, normally when we see that thing, it's normally, I would say that 99% of the time it wasn't I just did it and got caught. How was God dealing with you during that period of time? What was God dealing with you? What was the warning signs? Because to me, there are some warning signs that go forth when we out of order, and His grace gives us a chance to get it right. Did you experience that?
One of the biggest warning signs was my son's behaviors. Of course, he didn't know what was going on between me and this gentleman, but he had begun to, it was kind of progressive before I even met this young man, but it was almost as if when I started in this lifestyle of, I guess, this hidden sin, he kind of very aggressively started showing some very, very negative behaviors. And at the time, of course, because I didn't fully understand what was going on, I was lashing out on him. Sometimes I would physically discipline him. I was very mean towards him because I truly didn't understand what was going on. And it wasn't until I looked at the whole situation and I realized where I had fell short, not just in the fact that I was sinning, but in the fact that there were so many different things that I was placing as priorities in my life that should have never been priorities in my life, that God was able to let me know that there were things that I was doing so wrong that, the focus of a husband, focusing so heavily on that and missing the fact that I have a 10-year-old son who was not being hugged every day. He wasn't being told that he was loved every day. He wasn't being helped with his homework. There were so many different things that I was doing to pay attention to the fact that I wasn't in a relationship. I didn't have a husband. I didn't have help, and all those different things that we complain about as singles a lot of times. And, it just magnified whenever I met this guy, because then it was, no, I'm not in a relationship with him, and I'm certainly not married to him, but he's paying attention to me. So now I have this person who's paying attention to me, and we know for sure that I wasn't paying attention to my son like he needed to be paid attention to. So I think the biggest display in my life at that time was through my son. It kind of seemed like just slowly the progression of his behaviors became more and more negative and more destructive. And it was kind of scary because, you know, like I said, over the years I had neglected to spend the time that he needed as a result of working second jobs and things like that. But when he saw me having another man in my life who was getting more attention than he was, that was definitely that was a very hard thing to watch, as my son felt like he wasn't cared about, he wasn't loved. That was probably the biggest marker in my life at that time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's good. So you seen that maybe the warnings were coming exterior more so than internally. Did you find yourself, because you were very involved in you know, church and different things, did you find yourself kind of backing away from, as you gave your attention in this area, did you kind of start finding yourself backing away from, you know? And I don't know how that looks. I mean, I could say stuff like, you know, I know that it's been times in my life where I was totally out of order. And I was out of order. And so being out of order normally takes everything else out of order. Things that would normally be, like you said, a priority, like maybe going to church on a regular basis, being more involved in church, being involved in my own ministry, being willing to do the footwork to make sure that this passion, this vision that God's placed in me continues to live. But then I could think of times that I've been out of order, and when I start getting out of order, it's almost like I begin to see myself being pulled away from those things, especially the things of God. And so did you see yourself slackening at, you know, some of your dreams and your visions, your books? Maybe the one you hadn't wrote yet or the one you were writing, did you see that all of that stuff begin to deteriorate, or were you still able to stay on target?
You know, honestly, I was still able to stay on target. It wasn't until the sin was discovered that I found myself falling off. Like I said, up until that point, I was still leading. I was still leading up until I think maybe I was – maybe 2 months pregnant when I stopped leading the children's ministry. So it had been some time that I had been in this situation, and I was still leading. I was still doing things in the church. I was still, you know, doing things with my book. I was still writing. But like I said, it wasn't until, and, you know, honestly, there was a moment that I had with a man who, he's not my biological father, but he's the father that I've known all of my life. And I remember I needed to tell him what was going on. And in that conversation, he just kept on affirming me, and it was probably one of the first times in all my 30 years that I had ever felt so loved. You know, he told me, he said, you know, and I just remember him saying, Kim, I love you, you are my daughter. And he kept on saying those things over and over and over, you're still my daughter, I don't look at you any differently. And I remember after he said those things to me that I knew that I needed to tell the other, like my spiritual father, my church and things like that. And it wasn't until that point when I began to reveal it to, because I had to be very strategic with who was going to care more and who was going to care a little bit less. So I had to be very strategic at different times. So I would pick people at certain times that I knew that would be really disappointed versus the ones that wouldn't. And it wasn't until then that I started telling people that I found myself falling off at that point. Like I said, I wanted to leave the church. I wanted to commit suicide. I wanted to just be done with everybody and everything, because then it was at that point that my sin wasn't hidden anymore, and realizing that because I was pregnant, that it was going to be so much more visible than any other sin that a person could commit.
I love this conversation. I love the conversation. For our listening audience, again, we want to give you an opportunity that if you have a question or comment about tonight's show, if you have a question for our guests, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. We love interaction, and we appreciate it. what I love about this is from twofold. I love it because I love the there are so many points that's being made. And one of the points, I believe the first key point is understanding that we can't keep dealing with the symptoms of sin, but we got to deal with the root cause. So we have to look deeper when we see people in sin. Look deeper at what's going on instead of looking at the outside of what's going on. That's the first. The second thing, though, is that maybe there are people that's listening in on tonight and you've seen, you know, maybe you're not as involved in church. You don't trust the church. Something happened that caused you to lose trust and lose faith in the church, in the body. And so you've disconnected yourself from a church. You disconnected because you've seen things that just didn't sit well with you. I'm hoping that tonight's show for you will even give a better understanding, because even when we see things as disappointing and that we don't understand and we automatically form a judgment or opinion, we want you to know tonight that hopefully you hear that we're only looking at the symptoms. And as long as we're human, and we have unprocessed pain and hurts in our lives that we didn't deal with, as Kim said, I believe earlier, that may have been me and her conversation, we just sweep stuff up under the carpet, and we just sweep it up. We compartmentalize things. You know, well, I'm going to put this over here. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to stick this up under the carpet. I've heard people say, so what that happened to you when you were young? Get over it. Get over it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say that,
yeah.
and it's normally a generation probably before me that's, oh, that happened, shake it off. You know, it's no big deal. That was the norm back then. So what if it was domestic violence? It's the norm, you know. But you can see even in them that there's some hurts there that they never chose to deal with because the pain is so intense that they rather not deal with it. It's easier to sweep it up under the carpet. So my question to you, Kim, would be, what would you say to the people that have these hurts and pains in their lives, regardless if it was from when you were a child or maybe you were a young adult when you experienced it, regardless when you experienced it, what would you say to them? How do they process through that so that the symptoms could go away?
So I know that this is not necessarily a luxury that every church in America has, but I know that how I have begun to receive my healing and how I process my pain is, in my church we do have counseling services. And I think that especially when it comes to the African-American community, we kind of shy away from wanting other people in our business, and especially if it's a person outside of our race. There's no way that they can understand what we're enduring and what we're going through. And I can tell you that I cannot even begin to tell you how much healing and how much understanding that I've been able to come to. I've been in counseling now for, I want to say, it's about maybe 4 or 5 months. And this counselor has been truly, truly helping me to understand the things that I've endured. He's helping me how to learn how to communicate, because that's a very big issue that I have, is that once a person hurts me, if I can't escape that person, I just fail to communicate with them. And so either way, it's just not a healthy thing. It's not a healthy thing to run. It's not a healthy thing to break down our communication. And that's how we have these different issues. And, you know, even more importantly, if people could understand that whenever we choose to keep on sweeping those things under the rug and we keep on choosing to not deal with them, it not only affects us as an individual, but it affects our families, it affects our schools, it affects our communities. It's affecting way more than us, because, you know, when my son was going to school and he was having bad days every single day that he was in school, that was affecting my community. That was affecting other students. That was affecting the teachers. It was affecting everybody around us. So it wasn't just something that was in my house and it was nobody else's business. This was my child going into school and acting out, wanting attention, wanting these other things that he couldn't express to other people because there was issues going on in our home. So, you know, if people could come to the realization that, I think that where it starts is coming to the acceptance that this thing in my life has hurt me and I need to deal with it. If we don't come to that place, you know, that place of acceptance, then we can't go through the entire process of learning how to grieve and how to process our pain. So if we can come to that acceptance, I believe that that in itself would bring maturity and growth. But also, you know, not even just the fact that people say, oh, don't worry about it, get over it. I think that what we fail, not to say that there's anything wrong with prayer at all, but I think that we fail a lot of times to say pray, but not realizing that there's other steps outside of praying that has to happen. You know, even in my church, we do have what we call Victory and Freedom Weekends. We have personal ministry and things like that. There needs to be other things that we're doing outside of praying for one another and praying for ourselves. You know, if we are praying, that's absolutely great. But sometimes even talking to someone brings healing, and it allows you to sort out the things that, because you're in your own situation, you can't see as clearly. So I would definitely encourage people to try to come to an understanding or an acceptance that there is hurt that they've endured, and not be ashamed of that hurt. A lot of the times when we are hurt by other people, we did not ask these things to happen to us. We absolutely did not. So why should we be embarrassed that someone else has hurt us? You know, if we could stop being embarrassed, we could stop acting like this is something that's going to break us down just because someone knows that we've been hurt. If we can just be real with ourselves and be real with one another, then we can come to the acceptance that these things have hurt us way more than we care to share. And then I think that's whenever the healing can come to place, when we're able to step outside of just knowing that we're hurt and then start doing something about the fact that we're hurt.
Good. Woo! Rich dialogue tonight on processing the pain with our special guest, Kim Fairley, the author of Perfectly Imperfect, and more recently her release is An Encounter with Grace. We have really been touching on some really dynamic things, and hopefully you're listening in, that you're getting it, you're getting a breakthrough, that you really understand that we have to get to the root cause, and not just in our own lives that we deal with our own sin, but even as we're dealing with others, you know, we have to begin to have a little bit more compassion and extend the same grace to others that God extends to us. So this has really been rich dialogue. We want to give you an opportunity, if you're listening in, to dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know if you have a question or comment for our guest or for our site. Again, Kim, tell people, how can they get, you know, how can they get your books? Because Perfectly Imperfect was a good book, and then now you have an Encounter with Grace. Again, can you share your website and how they could purchase your book?
Yes, both books are available through my website, which is beautybeyondbrokenness.com. And both books are available also on amazon.com.
Okay, so that's beautybeyondbrokenness.com. So that is Kim's website that you could go on and purchase her books if you would like to support her, as well as get a good read. So, again, tonight we've been talking, we've been talking about so much. We've talked about grace. We've talked about sin. We've talked about the symptom versus the root cause. We talked about, you know, how we really talked about the process of sin as well, because it's not something generally that you just fall into. It's something that's, because I'm sure that during that time of your life, it, you know how we go back and forth, because we know what's right and wrong. We already know that, especially if we've been following. So we already know what's right and wrong. And at some point, I know for me, the times that I made a choice to have a lifestyle of sin, when I first did it, it was not comfortable. Meaning, whatever that thing was, you know, when I first did it, I got the conviction. It wasn't comfortable. I was very repentive. And then I do it again.
Yeah.
And then the more you do it, the less you get to a point where the conviction's not there. You get to a point where you become comfortable with it. You know, you no longer have it. And then you begin, in some cases, you know, maybe not everybody, but then for me, I can remember many years ago, my son was still, he was very young, but I can remember and knowing, I mean, here I am, a minister, a co-pastor, you know, at a, you know, knowing the word and knowing right from wrong. And I can remember I went through a period in time because I was, you know, I went through a period of time where I justified sex outside of marriage because, and my justification was, or at least what I thought it was, is that sin separates us from God. So in my mind, as long as I wasn't separated from God, I wasn't in sin, and that everybody else had to be wrong. The church, the world, everybody had to be wrong about sin, because if you could still do what you do and still be in relationship with God, then it wasn't sin. Of course, eventually God let me, he let me go on with my reprobate mind. You know, yeah. He let me go on with my reprobate mind, and thank God by his grace that he pricked my heart, you know, one day after a couple of years of, you know, thinking that was cool for me to do what I was doing. Eventually he pricked my heart, and, you know, and I came back repentant that I even went that direction. But what I was going to say to that is that even in that moment, in that season, the sex was the symptom. The sex outside of marriage was the symptom. But what the deeper part was is I had just went through a divorce. I had just went through my ex, you know, I just had my youngest son. My ex-husband walked out on the marriage. And so even though I thought for 6 years of me not getting in a relationship and me just seeking God, I thought I was healed. And I thought I was whole. I didn't think I had any residue of that. But the reality of it was is that I still had the hurts and pains from that, which then began to open up old wounds, familiar spirits, and an end result of that was me living a lifestyle of sin. So I get what you're saying. We got to deal with those wounds. We got to deal with those old pains that we have not processed through. Those wounds, you know how with the wound, a Band-Aid is okay on a wound initially, but how many of us know that normally if you have a cut, you put the Band-Aid on initially to stop the bleeding. It's only temporary. Eventually, you got to take that Band-Aid off and let that wound get air so that it can heal, because without oxygen and without air, it's not going to begin to form a scab. It's not going to begin to heal. And I think what happens is that some of us got lifetime Band-Aids on some wounds that have happened, and we just put Band-Aids over it, and we have not opened that wound up. We haven't cleaned it. We haven't allowed it to air out. We haven't went through the process with it. End result is that we're finding things to comfort the pain, to numb the pain, and then normally those things that we're finding to numb the pain is sin. Kim, what would you say? We're getting towards the end of our show, and this has been so dynamic, so rich. I don't know about you, studio audience. We need to get a virtual clap, because tonight's show has been amazing. It's been rich dialogue.
Yeah.
What I want to ask you before we end tonight, again, I want to give the audience a chance to, if they're listening in, they have a question or comment, you could dial one. But what I really want to do, what you wrote the book, Encounter with Grace. For you, it's personal because you said that, you know, sometimes God allows things to happen. And you said that one of the things you said is that you were very harsh on people who had sinned. You were very harsh. And as a result, and you're not the first person I heard said that. I mean, even for myself and others, I think, you know how they say the seeds you sow is the seeds you grow? And so I think that sometimes we could be so judgmental or so critical in a certain area, it's almost like we have to go through something in order for God to get our attention. to bring us down a notch, to humble us. It's called humbling. And sometimes we go through things in life that causes us to become humble. And then when we're, it's different when you're now in a position where you're on the bottom looking up. Now that you can begin to see, because you're on the bottom looking up, you can begin to see where God's grace was sufficient, and you can begin to have compassion for other people that's going through things. So we're not so quick to begin to bring out the whip, but we're more quicker to pray. And like you said, extend grace and love and comfort to people that's going through. What would you, based on what you've been through in your book, what would be your encouraging words that you would give to the listening audience or somebody that may listen to this show at another date? What would be the thing that you would encourage them in reference to their symptoms, their sin, their symptoms, their root cause, grace, everything that we discussed tonight? How would you bring that all in a nutshell to encourage our listening audience?
I guess in a nutshell, a couple things. The first is that we never know what the next person is going through. We are all one decision away from making the same decision that another person has made whenever they've fallen in out of grace and out of the love of God. And not the love of God, when they've fallen out of grace. And just for us to realize that we seriously need to be able to understand what it is to love. You know, I think that when we use that word a lot of times, we misuse it. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about love, it talks about love being patient, kind, love covers, it endures, it hopes. And if we are able to truly understand and have a better sense of what love is, I think that we can start to treat one another how God has, how he wanted us to treat one another. But I think that we need a deeper understanding of, you know, to sum it all up, just understanding what love is. Because when we truly understand what love is, that's whenever we're able to shower one another with grace. And we're able to understand that, you know, like I said, we are all just one decision away from falling. We are all one decision away from being broke, from being in a relationship that we shouldn't be in. We're all just one decision away from those different things that end up in these different symptoms that we see. So if we could just uncover our eyes and our understanding and have a little bit more patience and kindness with one another, then we can truly see that there is something deeper. There is all of these different schemes that the enemy is trying to use against us to break us down. So if we could just look at one another in a little bit more love, then I think that we could be a lot more encouraging and uplifting to one another. We can bring life to one another.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you for those words of wisdom, and we thank you again for gracing us with your presence and being a guest on tonight's show and being willing to just sow seed and just give some good nuggets. We thank our listening audience for tuning in to our show on tonight. We pray that something was said that has blessed you tremendously, that you could go from here and grow from here. Go from here and grow from here. So, again, we want to thank you for tuning in to tonight's show. Please feel free to continue to follow us weekly on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. for Woman to Woman. We're finishing off our last series of Fathering from Afar, Fact or Fiction. Men, even though this show is Woman to Woman, the month of August has been about our men. We've been trying to encourage, empower, educate our men, as well as eradicate the terms deadbeat dad, sperm donor, loser. We're trying to get rid of those tags for men because we want to deal with the root cause and not the symptoms. So join us for our last show. We have a special guest that's been with us for the whole month of August. So join us this Tuesday, which would be the last Tuesday in August for that particular series, at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesday. And then again, continue to join us every Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Processing the Pain. Again, Kim, I just thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you a lot of success on your book. And again, people, go out and support Beauty JourneyBeyondBrokenness.com is her website. You could buy the book from there, and you could also buy the book from Amazon. So the book is called An Encounter with Grace. It's her second book. Her first book is Perfectly Imperfect. Again, we appreciate you. Know that you are loved and truly appreciated. Have a good evening.
Be anxious for nothing, just give me a praise. Don't worry for tomorrow, nor yesterday. Be here with me now, and think of my grace. Be anxious for nothing, just give me your praise. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow has not come. Don't worry for the things that I'll supply. I've always met your need, and I've gotten you mine. So be anxious for nothing, just give me your praise. In all of your ways, count every blessing, count every day. Don't worry for tomorrow, nor dwell on yesterday. Be anxious for nothing, just give me your praise. understanding.